Okay, good morning and welcome to Tech Days 11 also from my side. Today I'm going to introduce you to new product, to new component, which are part of the Microsoft WebStack family, WebMatrix, a new free tool, and Orchard, the new open source CMS from Microsoft. I will start with WebMatrix about 25 minutes, and then I will switch to Orchard, the new open source CMS. So what is WebMatrix? WebMatrix is a new free tool which can be used in order to create web application in a simple and fast way without having to worry too much about the detail, without having to use the typical .NET infrastructure you use every day. So if we want, we can say in really simple word that WebMatrix is a new tool for creating, for customizing and publishing web application. But WebMatrix, as we will see in a moment, it's not just a tool. Why that? Because it also contains all the components which are required every time you want to create a website. In fact, it includes a new development web server, a new web framework, and a new embedded database. More on these three components in a moment. Now, why do we need something new? Are Visual Studio 2010 and ASP.NET not enough? Actually, yes, if you're a professional developer, you like those tools, you're happy with ASP.NET, then you can keep on using those tools. The problem is that there are people out there for which Visual Studio and ASP.NET are probably, I don't want to say too difficult, but maybe too much, especially if they just want to build dynamic web pages in a simple and fast way. And so to give you maybe an idea, if you ever bought an ASP.NET book, I think I bought my first one like 10 years ago, one of those teaching you or learning ASP.NET in 21 days, you may know that in order to understand such a book, you probably need a computer science degree, or at least you have to be a little bit familiar with concepts like object-oriented programming, classes, framework, and so on. So we really wanted to change this. We wanted to make ASP.NET more approachable for people, especially who are learning web development for the first time. Okay, so it's those people who are maybe familiar a little bit with HTML. They may have some notion of CSS, cascading style sheet, and so on. And they want to build dynamic web pages in an easy and fast way. So you can think, for instance, at student, but not only, also at professional developer who they just want to build quickly their private website during their free time, or a website for a friend who has maybe a little business activity. So WebMatrix, it's also good to do to produce those what we call the quick and dirty solution, where you do not have much time to invest and you just need something done. Then with WebMatrix, we also have another target, which are those developers who build web applications starting from existing open source framework, from existing open source application like .NET Nuke, Umbraco, WordPress, so the PHP ones, the ASP.NET ones, open source framework. So those developers who prefer to take an existing application, customize it a little bit, and deploy it on the server of the hosting provider without having to worry too much about the details. Before I mention that WebMatrix is not just a tool, that it contains also three new important components suitable for web development, what are those components? The first one is IIS Express, which is a version of IIS built specifically for development environment. So, for instance, if you want to use IIS Express, you don't have to be administrator on your local machine. You can compare IIS Express with the Cassini web server, which is part of Visual Studio 2010, but with the power of IIS. To give you another example, if you're using the Cassini web server, the Cassini web server does not support SSL. IIS Express, it does. Okay. And what we did, actually, we took, in order to create this new web server, we took the code base of IIS 7, we shipped with Windows Server 2008 R2. We did some changes in order to make it really a great development web server for development environment. And By the way, what you also have to know is that IIS Express is also running under Windows XP. Okay? And then we have the second component, which is SQL Server Compact Edition 4, which is an embedded database optimized for web application. I repeat, optimized for web application. It is a file-based database. It is Xcopy deployable. What does it mean that? It means that you have your database, which is a file. It's a .sdf file. And when I say that it's Xcopy deployable, I mean that when you want to deploy your application, which is using SQL Server Compact Edition 4 on the server of your hosting provider, you can just copy and paste all the DLL with the database, your application, and everything will just work. Why that? Because when you're copying, you're deploying the application, you're going to copy the SDF file, which is the database itself, but you're also going to copy a bunch of DLL. Those DLL are inside the bin directory of your application. So you're going to copy a bunch of DLL, and those DLL represent the database engine. So on the server side, you don't need to do any SQL Server installation, okay? Which means also that you don't have to pay any SQL hosting fee, because it's free. So when you deploy your application, you're actually deploying everything, the database itself and the database engine. We are going to see this during the demo. If you think a little bit, you may know that in Visual Studio 2010, we have already SQL Server Compact Edition, but it's version 3.5. The problem with this version, with this old version, is that it was not optimized for web application. Okay? So if you want, you can try to use it in a web application, but really soon you will start to see that there are quite a lot of error. A lot of error will be generated because SQL Server Compact Edition 3.5 has not been created for the multi-request nature of web application. So you need to use SQL Server Compact Edition 4 in case you want to use it in a web application. And finally, what we have, ASP.NET web pages and resource syntax, which provide, if you want, a simplified development model for building inline web pages. And when I say inline web pages, I mean web pages where you have a mix of HTML and code. And this code can be C# or VB.NET. We're going to see this also during the demo. And Razor, what is Razor? Razor, it's not a new language because the language is C# or VB.NET. Razor is simply a new syntax, which define how you can embed the code inside your HTML page. By the way, Razor, it's also the new Vue engine, which is being used inside ASP.NET MVC version 3, which has been released the same day as WebMetrics, the same day as Orchard, and it's a new Vue engine. There is a session this afternoon, and I'm sure you're going to see many stuff about Razor. Good. It's time for the first demo. Oops. So, first of all, in order to install WebMetrics, the easiest way is to go to the www.microsoft.com/web/webmetrics. And once you are on this side, you can click on install on the Install WebMetrics button. At this point, what's happening? The web platform installer tool will be launched. If it's not available on your machine, it will be downloaded and installed on your local machine. And then the web platform installer will pre-select for you Microsoft WebMetrics, which in my case is already installed. And in less than a couple of minutes, you will get this simple but complete development environment ready. What you have to know, if you have already .NET 4 on your machine, it's about a 15 megabyte download. Once the tool is being installed, you can start it. And here you have a couple of options. The first one, my site. Here you can see the site you have previously created. By the second option, site from the web gallery. Here, when you select this option, you are connected to an online gallery of popular open source web applications. As you can see at the moment, we have 50 of them. You can filter by category. So if you need a blog, you can select the blog section. If you need a CMS, you select the CMS section, and so on. So about 50 applications. and the gallery will be updated on a regular basis. Now, the nice thing about WebMetrics is that it automates everything. You can select one of these applications, press on the next button, and then install it. And the nice thing about WebMetrics is that WebMetrics will identify which are the required components which need to be installed on your local machine in order to run the specific selected application. It doesn't matter if it is a PHP application which is using MySQL or if it is an ASP.NET application based on Microsoft SQL Server. Everything is really supported out of the box. Good. This is the second option. We are going to see it in the second part when I'm going to do the Orchard demo. And then the third option, site from template. This option allows you to create a new site from scratch using some template. And if you're using this option here, you're going to use the new framework, the new ASP.NET Web Pages framework, which is using the new syntax, the Razor syntax, which I mentioned before. And then the last one, okay, create a site from an existing folder. So let's start site from template. I create an empty site. I say okay. And now the first thing here, we have this startup page, let's say like this. And the first thing we see is that my page will be hosted on the localhost port 70,800 on my local, is using IIS Express. And then here below, what we see is that my website, is being stored locally inside the My Document folder. Then what we can do, we can browse for in the structure of our website, so we can access the file of our project, we can manage the database, or we can run a report. Run a report is for what is this? Run a report, here you have the opportunity to run a SEO report, search engine optimization report. So if you want a report which tells you how you can optimize your website for search engine, Google, Bing, and so on, how you can make your website more relevant. So this is the functionality here, run a report. Then you have another section here, request. This request section, if you want it analyzed during testing, during the development phase of your application, is analyzing all the requests which are coming through your website. And so it's quite useful because it helps you, for instance, to find out if there are any broken link and so on. Good. Now what we want to do, we want to go to the file section. You can also click here below on files. Is the same as you click here on browse your files. And now what we do, okay, let's start by adding a new file. I say new file, and now I'm going to select the CSHTML file. This is a new file type. It's a new file type which is using the new Razor syntax I mentioned before. So it's a file which is containing HTML and at the same time is containing, in this case, C# code. We have another option, which is a VBHTML file. So this is a file which is containing HTML and at the same time Visual Basic.NET code. I'm going to select the C# version, the C# option. I say OK. And now what I can say, I can show you a first example of the Razor syntax. So I can start to type. I say OK. H2. I say welcome to Tech Days. And then I say date and time. And now let's say that you want to put a piece of code, a piece of code which must be executed on the server side. What you do, really simple, you just use the @character. This marks the beginning of the code. And now you can start to use some functions. So you say, for instance, datetime.now. You're finished with the code. You don't have to put any special sign. You just start again to type HTML. I can press now F12 or press the run button, and here we have our first example of a inline web page which is using the new Razor syntax. So it's really a new syntax which makes everything really easier. Okay, now what we want to do? Now we want to connect ourselves to a database. So what I do, I go on the top here, and I'm going to write to define a code block. How can I define a code block? I say @open_curly_brace, and now I can start to write some C# code. I say var, I want to define a variable, db is equal, then now I say database.open. I pass the name of my database. Let's call it tech days. At the moment, the tech days database doesn't exist, so I need to create it. But before I create it, let's make some notes on this line of code. What's that? Database.open is what we call a helper. And a helper, if you want, is like a library which implements tasks, which implements functionality, which is being used by every day by the developers. So typical functionality you're using inside your web application. So like connecting to a database, like embedding a video within your web application, and so on. There are really many, many, many helpers inside this framework. I'm going to show you at the end of the demo a slide with a list of the helper we have. There are really many of them. Good, now I have to create the database. So I go to the database section here below. I click on database, and here what we can do, we can connect to an existing database, which can be local or remote. It can be a MySQL database, but it can be also, of course, a SQL Server database, Express, or the full version. Or we can click on the new database button. And if I click on new database, what's happening? We see here that a .sdf file has been created. So this is the new SQL Server Compact Edition for database, this new embedded database I was mentioning in the introduction. I can rename it. Let's call it Tech Days. And now I can create a new table within the database in order to make a really simple example to give you an idea of the new framework. And so I create a new table, and I'm ready to define the first column of my table. The first column of my table, it's the name column. Data type, I want to use envarchar, so it's a string. Then let's define a second column, which is email. Data type, once again, envarchar. I really do something simple because... And now the third one is the phone. Let's put it as well as an R and varchar. We don't care, actually. Now I can click on the Save button. I have to provide the table name. So I say this is the table person. And now I click on OK. I can now put some test data. So this is the first record with my name inside, my email, and we don't care a phone number. Let's put somebody else with the email. Doesn't exist this person, just a sample, voila. And now, okay, I can go back and I can go to the files view back. I can now do a refresh. And what we see that an updated directory has been created, and inside this updated directory we have our database, our SDF file. This is our database. Good. Now what we want to do, of course, we want to read some information from this table. So what I can do, I've already prepared a piece of code. I do copy-paste. I think it's not a problem at all because at this time everybody's doing copy-paste, especially in German. It's really a big... It's really common. So what I'm doing here, I define a table. Here I'm defining the header of my table. So I have a name column, an email column, and a phone column. And then now, once again, I want to write a piece of code. So once again, I say at, and I'm writing a for each. So I'm writing a loop. And what I'm doing, I'm saying by using the DB variable, which has been defined here on the top, I want to execute a query on my database and retrieving all the records which are coming from the table person. For each record you find, you have to create a line with the name, with the email, and the phone. Let's press F12 and see, voila, everything is working. So now we have seen how you can retrieve information from the database. The next thing we want to see is how you can save data back to the database. So let's go back here to the tool. And in order to post some data, I need in some way to add a form, okay? A form with some text boxes. So also here, I have prepared this. I can go here on the button. I've created a form. with three text boxes. One is for the name, the other one is for the email, the other one for the phone. And then finally what I have a submit button, so a button of type submit, which means when I press this button, all the information within my form will be submitted back to the server, will be posted back to the server. Now I need to go on the server side. I need to grab those information. So I have another piece of code. I can replace all this. So once again, opening the connection to the database. And then what I'm saying if it's a post back, so if it's not the first time that somebody is calling, is requesting me to a specific page, then you have to, wait, I have to put something, voila. Then you do, you have to execute an insert statement into the table, into the person table, passing the name, email, and phone. And note here that I'm using parameter. Why that? Because we want to avoid SQL injection. And then what I'm doing, I'm replacing the value of this parameter with the name, with the email, and with the phone, so the value which are inside the text boxes. Let's start it again. I can add some information. We don't care, actually. Everything is varchar. Submit query, wonderful. Everything has been saved back to our database. Now, suppose this was just to give you a little bit an idea of the new framework. There are really quite a lot of helpers which also generate really nice UI. There is a helper in order to generate a data grid UI so that you don't have to write for each and so on. But I do not have the time to show you all those stuff. Now, suppose that you are finished with your website. Okay, let's say this is our website. We are ready to deploy the website to our service hosting provider. The nice thing about WebMetrix is that if you don't have an hosting provider, you can go on the Publish button here and click on Find Web Hosting. It will connect you to the Web Hosting Gallery of Microsoft, where it will pre-select for you Switzerland, because I'm using a Swiss IP address, and it will show you some offer of hosting provider which support the technology being used inside the application. So if you're developing a WordPress application inside WebMetrix, when you click on this button, it will pre-select all those hosting provider which also support MySQL, because WordPress is a PHP-based application and is using MySQL. And the nice thing about it is that if you open an account by one of these providers in Switzerland, we have, for instance, iWay and Webland. We did a partnership with them for the launch of WebMetrix. The nice thing about it is that when you open an account by one of these providers and you get a welcome email from them, I have here now an example from Webland, you get the email with all the credential information, and then you get also a file here as an attachment. It's an XML file which is containing all the credentials. You can go back to the tool here, you can go to the publish section, click on settings, and now you have the possibility to import this XML file. So I click on import publish setting, I select the file which is being provided, and everything will be automatically pre-filled for me with the credential and everything. So that everything is really easy from the start, from the creation of the website to the deployment of the website. You can choose between web deploy and FTP. I select, for instance, FTP. And because I created, especially for this demo today, a virtual directory called TDB, Tech Days Basel, I put now as a site path TD Basel. You can validate the connection. Everything is fine. It's been connected to the server. I can save all those settings. And now you can click on the publish button. What's happening now? WebMetrix is going to connect to the server of your hosting provider and is asking me, do you want me to make a test on the server of your hosting provider so that I can really check that all the required components are really available, like .NET 4, for instance. In my case, I know that everything is good. So I say, no, don't do the check. And now it's going to connect to the server once again. It's going to check if I have already deployed once my application. It's not the case. It's a new application. And in case it's not the first time you're deploying the application, it's going to show you the list of the changed file. You don't need to deploy everything once again. And now note something I was mentioning in the introduction. Here below you see that I will put a check because I want to deploy my SQL Server Compact Edition for database, my embedded database. But note something, inside the bin directory here, we have those DLL I was mentioning before. So you're going to deploy not only the database, but also the database engine. That's why you don't need to install any SQL Server on the server of your hosting provider. So we are fine. I say, OK, deploy everything. Continue, and now you see here below the publishing process is starting. Let's wait a couple of seconds. It's finished, and now I'm really live with my application. It's on the webland.ch server. I have to provide the default page, which was page.cshtml, and we have our application. It's not going. It's still loading. Let's wait a little bit more. Voila, we have our application. I can do a short test and see if everything is fine. Submit, and voila. So that's the way you can really easily deploy your application using WebMetrics. Let's go back to the slide. Those are our WebMetrics launch partner, Swiss launch partner. Here I still have one slide more. And as you can see, I was mentioning before that we really have many, many helpers. And usually when I'm doing a WebMetrics-only presentation, today I'm doing Orchard and WebMetrics, so a kind of mixed session, I'm really, in the second part of the talk, I'm really showing to people how you can really create a real website, not this kind of sample I did before. And by using really quite a lot of helper, you can really easily create also complex website. So as you can see, we really have helper in order to implement security. If you want to embed a video, it could be Silverlight, Flash, whatever, you can do it. Search functionality, chart, social network functionality, like if you want to integrate the like button, it's really maybe one line of code most of the time. And also you have the possibility to integrate payment functionality. So there is a PayPal helper also. So if you are interested in this new framework, you can on the last slide of the presentation, I put a link. There is really a wonderful tutorial. You can have a look to the tutorial. And in this tutorial, you can really go say, OK, now what I want to do, I want to add a grid, a data grid. OK, I click, oh, adding a data grid. You click on it. You can really copy and paste the code inside your application, and everything will just work fine. It's really easy to use it. Good. In the introduction, I mentioned that WebMetrics is a tool for creating application from scratch. I did a short presentation of the new framework, but WebMetrics is also for people who prefer to take existing open source application, customize them a little bit, and then deploy them without having to worry too much about the details. So we have seen how you can create the application from scratch with the new framework, with the new Razor syntax. And so now, in the second part, I'm going to introduce one of those many open source applications. And this is Orchard. This is the new CMS from Microsoft, open source CMS. And Orchard has been developed in about 1 year by a dedicated team at Microsoft. At the beginning, about 4 people, today 11 people is the team, of course, with the community support. And in about 1 year, as I said, they created version 1.0 of Orchard, which has been released together with WebMetrics and all other stuff on the 13th of January. 3 weeks ago, at the Mix conference in Las Vegas, Orchard 1.1 has been announced and released. And so now today, in order to do my demo, I'm going to use this new version, version 1.1. So Orchard is a new CMS platform. It's based on the latest version of ASP.NET MVC, which is version 3, also released the same day as Orchard. And the target for Orchard are typically the small, medium-sized sites. We can also say typically internet-facing site, which are running in shared environment. And another key focus of Orchard is modular extensibility. As we will see during the demo, almost everything in Orchard is implemented as a module. Okay? So if you want to add additional functionality, if you want to create additional functionality for your Orchard CMS, what you have to do, you have to create your own module. but we will see this in the demo. Orchard is free, it's open source, there is this BSD license. It's a really permissive license, it's a very permissive license. You can do actually almost whatever you'd want with the code. And then how you can contribute to this open source project by creating module, by creating new team. As we will see during the presentation, team defines the look and feel of your Orchard application, of your Orchard CMS. You can contribute by doing translation, writing documentation, and so on. Good, time for the demo. And in order to do this demo, of course, I'm going to use WebMetrics. I close it, and I restart it again. This time, I'm going to use the second option, Site from Web Gallery. And I'm going to select the Orchard CMS. So I click on Orchard. I press on Next. I say, I accept. So the Orchard package is being downloaded and installed on my machine. OK, wonderful. Now I can press F12. And now we have this startup, this setup screen of Orchard, where we have to provide some basic information. So I say this is the Orchard website. He asked me to provide him a username. I say admin, because I'm the administrator. I have to provide a password. I have to confirm, of course, the password. And now here I have a first choice, which is telling me, do you want to use the new SQL Server Compact Edition for database, or do you want to use a normal SQL Server? I say, OK, SQL Server Compact Edition, it's fine. And then here there is something new. This is new since version 1.1. You have the opportunity to select an Orchard receipt. An Orchard receipt is actually give you the possibility to set up your site with additional pre-configured options. So if you already know that you want a blog, you can pre-select blog and some module will be pre-installed for you. But I'm going to take the default configuration. I say finish setup, and now what's happening? The Orchard database schema is being generated with some basic data. And when it's finished, we will see the front end of our Orchard website. So this is the front end. You can note here below, it's a little bit small, I am logged in as an administrator, and now I'm going to click on the dashboard link. When you click on the dashboard link, you are going to access the back end of your Orchard CMS. If you prefer the dashboard or the admin part of your Orchard CMS. Now what we want to do? We want to create a new page to start. So I click on new page. I say that I want to create the About Us page. And note here that a URL, a clean URL, has been generated for us. Okay, so a permalink, if you prefer. And now what I can do, I can copy some content. Let's close some pages here that I don't need anymore. This also. So I go on the orchardproject.net website. This is the website of the Orchard open source project. I can go on the About Us page, and in order to have something nicer, I copy some content. I go back to my Orchard website and paste it inside. So we have some content. I can tag the page. So I say this is the Orchard team. I can say that I want to show this page on the main menu, so I have to provide a name for the menu. I say this is the About Us page. And now here below, what you can do, you can save it immediately. So, as a draft. Or you can say you want to save it immediately, so you want to publish it immediately now. Or you can also publish it later. It's a little bit small. You can provide a date and a time and click on publish later. This is the third option. So I say publish now. Let's go back to the front end. To go back, you click on your site in on the top left. And now an About Us page has been created. Now what we want to do? We want to create a blog. So let's go back once again to the dashboard. I say I want to create a new blog. This is our blog. Note also here, and try to remember the URL. It's our-blog, OK? Try to remember that. And now, description, okay, this is a blog about Orchard. I can say that I want to show it on the main menu, and so I say our blog, and I can also save it. So the blog has been created. I can create the first post, and this is my first post. This is my first post. Text, let's put torture, we don't care actually. Publish now. Now I can go back to my Orchard frontend, and I have my blog. Now, what I want to show you, I want to introduce you a new concept, the concept of widgets. What are widgets? Widgets, if you want, are a piece of HTML and code, so HTML and logic, piece of HTML which can be placed on a page within your website. So I go back here on the dashboard. I click here on widgets. And what you have to know is that in order to place a widget on a page, you have to assign the widget to a layer and to a zone. What is the layer? What is the zone? The layer, if you want, you can think of a layer as a set of rules which define when or where your widget will be rendered inside the page. So here, to do it smaller a little bit, here on the right side, what we have? We have a list of available layer. We have the default layer, which means that if I assign my widget to the default layer, my widget will be rendered on all pages within my website. If I assign it to the authenticated layer, it means that my widget will show up just in case the user is being authenticated. And then there is the home page here in the end, which of course means I want to show my widget just on the home page. Here on the left side, you have a list of zone. So I said you need to assign a layer, but you also have to assign a zone. The zone, if you want, define the position of the widget within the page. And what you have to know is that the available zone here depends on the theme you're using within your website. Okay? So in this case, we are using the default Orchard theme. The theme I mentioned before in introduction defines the look and feel of your application, defines the layout of your application. And here on the right side, you have, if you want, a picture which is showing you the placement of all the zone inside the current selected, the current user theme. So you see you have the header, you have the feature zone here, which is just below the main menu, and so on. So what I want to do now, I want to add an HTML widget just below the menu, and these widgets must appear just on the home page. What I do, I say I want to add it to the feature zone, so I go here, I click add. At this point, I say I want to show a piece of HTML, so I select an HTML widget. And at this point, I say, okay, the zone is the feature zone. The layer is not the default layer, but it's the home page layer. And now I can, for instance, add an image. Here we have this dialog. I can create, because it's the first time, I can create a folder. Let's call it media folder. And now I can start to upload some picture. I click on browse. I upload this picture, and I click. I don't see where is the button. Disappeared. I don't know. There should be. I retry. Wait a moment. Maybe it's a problem. Let's try again. Okay, now I see. I should have here. Okay, now I have the upload button. Okay, let's take this one, upload it. Then I want to upload another picture, which I'm going to use later, my picture. Then I select this one and I say, okay, I want to introduce this picture with this width and height. And voila, we can put something, a text. So now let's reduce a little bit, zoom out. I can save. So I have added a widget to the feature zone inside my home page. If I go to the front end, now I am on the home page, I see the widget in this specific zone. On the About Us page, it's not there, and so on. Now the next thing we want to do is to add a widget or to add some information on the right side here of our blog. The problem is I don't have a block layer, so I need to create one. I need to create a rule which is saying I want to display my widget just inside my block. How can I do that? It's really easy. I click on dashboard. I go inside the widget section. And now I say I want to add a new layer. So you click on the link add new layer. This is the block layer. You can put a description, I don't care. And now you can define a rule. And so I'm saying that I want that widget assigned to this specific layer, to the block layer, must appear just inside the block. And so I'm saying tilde, so I want to go to the root of my website, slash, and then I say our dash block. I told you to remember the URL. This is the URL of my block. So I have defined the layer, I've defined the rule, I can save it, and now I have to select. You see here on the right side, I have the aside second zone, which is on the right side, and that's the place where I want to place my information. So I go, I select the aside second zone, I click on add, I say once again that I want an HTML widget, I'm going to use the block layer, and here I'm going now to add my picture, because it's my blog, okay? So I select the picture, insert, wonderful, and now I can go and save it. Now let's go back to our front end. We go on our blog and have the picture. Now if I navigate to the first post, we have a problem, the picture is not there. Why that? I did a little mistake on the rule. So I have to change the rule regarding the blog, the rule which defined the layer. I click back on dashboard, I go back to the widget section, I have to select the block layer here, and now I click on edit. So I have to change the rule. And the change I'm going to do, it's really easy. I have to say that I don't want to show my picture just on the main block page, but also on all other pages which are underneath the main page. So what I did, I'm putting just an asterisk. So I'm sure that all the pages under my block will use my picture. I save it, I go back to my block. Here is good. My first post, and the picture is still there. So that's the problem has been solved. Good. Now what we want to do, I just go back quickly to the slide. I mentioned before in the introduction, this is the demo summary, okay, what we did, we created and published a page, we created a blog, you can read it later, it's more for your reference. Now let's talk a little bit about modules. I mentioned before that everything or almost everything in Orchard is built as a module. If you have a look at the structure of your project, of your Orchard project, you will see that there is a modules folder, and inside the modules folder there are many other folders, and those folders represent, if you want, all the modules which are part of the default Orchard installation. One thing that you have to know is that when you install a module inside Orchard, the module will expose one or more feature. And in order to use those features, you need to activate them, okay? Usually we have a one-to-one correlation. One module is exposing one feature, but it can also be that we have one module which is exposing many features. Now the question is, how do we activate a feature? Let's have a look. I go back to my website, and the next thing I want to do is to enable a feature. So I go in the dashboard, in the backend. I go inside the module section. And here you see we have a list of all available features. These are the features which are coming per default with the default Orchard installation. And now what we can also note, I don't know if you see it. Yeah, you see it. There are some features, those two, for instance, which have a gray background. This means that those features are not enabled. And in order to enable those features, you just have to click on the enable link. What you can note, if you take this remote block publishing feature, you note that this feature depends on two other features, on the blocks feature, which is here, and it depends on the XML RPC feature, which is here. And if you activate the remote blog publishing feature, it will also it will also activate all the related features. So I click on enable, and the XML RPC feature will be also enabled. Why did I activate this feature? Because I want to allow people to publish blog posts using an external tool. And what I'm going to use, the Windows Live Writer tool. So I start Windows Live Writer. I need to add to create a new account. So I say, add a blog account. I have to provide the URL of my blog. So let's go back here. I go back to my website on my old blog. I copy the URL. I go back inside the tool here. I paste the URL. I have to provide the username, so it's admin. With the password, remember my password. Yes. And now I'm able, because I have enabled this feature, I'm now able to create posts using an external tool. So I say this is my second post. We don't care, actually. Tuck. Publish. It will publish it. And now we are back to our Orchard website with the second post. Good. Now let's go back to the dashboard, because I want to change a little bit the navigation. Here we have the About page, and then the About Us, then our blog. I want to put the About Us page here at the end. So I go back to the dashboard. I can click on Navigation. And here you see what you can do. For instance, you can say that our blog, I want to change the position of the our blog page and say that it must go on 1.5. So we also support dot notation. So it will go between the home page and the About Us page. I can click on Update All. What you can also do is adding additional pages, additional tab. So I want to add a tab which is pointing to the external website Orchard Project. It is at position 3 because I wanted to have it at the end. And now you can put, for instance, a URL. I can add it. And now I can go back to my website. We see About Us page is on the third position. And here, if I click here, I am redirected to the orchardproject.net site. Good. This was just short about the navigation. And now the next thing I want to do, just go back to the slide. This is the demo summary. Localization support. Inside Orchard, we have two different types of localization. We have application localization and content localization. Application localization allows you to localize, if you want, the dashboard, the administration part of your Orchard website, while the content localization is for localizing your own content, so the content which is being stored inside the database, the content you are going to provide by your own. For the demo, I will start to show you application localization. It's really easy. You can go inside the dashboard. You click on Settings. And now here you see we have a combo box, a drop-down list with English US. I can click on the link here and say add or remove supported culture for this site. And I say that I want to have my dashboard in French. So I select the French culture. I go back. Of course, adding the culture itself is not going to do anything, okay? Because I have to add a translation file. Where you can find those translation files? You can find them on the Orchard Project website. You can click on Translate, and here you see a list of available languages. In my case, I select French. You can download it. I did it already. It's here on my desktop. And now what you can do, you can extract this zip file inside the root directory of your Orchard installation. Where is the root directory? I go inside WebMetrix on the main page. This is the root directory, so I click on it, copy. I go back here, and I paste it. And I say extract. Yes, yes. So all the translation files are being copied inside my Orchard installation. I can now go back to to my virtual website, I can select French, French, and when I click on save, you will see that everything will be in French. So now everything here is in French. But let's put it back to English is better, otherwise we're going to lost ourselves. And so this was application localization. The next thing I want to do is content localization. So for content localization, you have to install an additional module. So it gives me the opportunity to show you how you can install an additional module. And what you have to know is that there is a gallery of modules. So I click on modules here. And here there is a gallery section. So the idea is that if you want, people in the spirit of the open source can write by themselves some module and make them available to the open source community. And what I need, it's a localization module. Where is it? I can find it. Usually it was always on the first page. I see it, okay. And you can click on install. By clicking on install, what's happening? It's going to download a zip package. It's going to extract it inside the modules folder we have seen on the slide before. So a new subfolder is being created inside the module folder here. As I mentioned before, when you install a module, you still have to activate the related feature. Okay? Otherwise, you can do nothing with the module. And it's telling me that there is one feature available called localization. What you can do is to click OK, and that's it, it's done. But I want to show you another way you can do in order to activate feature and in order to do other interesting stuff. And it is by using the Orchard command line utility. There is a command line utility. How can you start it? It's really easy. I go here, I go on the root of my Orchard project installation, I press the Shift key on the bin directory, right-click on the mouse, and then you select Open Command Prompt here. At this point, I can type and say Orchard, and what's happening, an Orchard session is being initialized. And with this console, I can really do a lot of stuff. I can do almost everything you can do inside the dashboard using the UI. So now it's going to initialize the Orchard session. You see that there are many commands available you can use. And what I want to do, I want to start, I want to see the list of all features which are available. So I say feature list, and then I say summary colon true. And here you see the list of all the features which are available in this Orchard installation. And what you can note is that we have our localization feature, which is still in status disabled. So I need to enable it, and I can say feature enable orchard.localization, enter. And after a couple of seconds, we will have the feature enabled. Now what I can do, I can get back to my website, and I can use content localization. So you can click on the content section here, and you will see that here a list of all the content we have already created during this demo. You see, I've created, for instance, the About Us page. The welcome page is already available per default. And note here that there is a link, New Translation, this link here. So you can click on New Translation in order to create a new version of this page. And I want to create the French version. So I select from the drop-down list French. And now I'm going to add the translated version. This is the French version, okay? Let's go on the bottom, publish now. I can now go... publish now. I go back on the front end, and now you see that we have the About Us page, and we have here a small link. It's telling me that there is a French version available. I can click on it, and voila, I got the French version. Of course, the link here is not so nice, the UI. So, of course, if you want, you can change it. Currently, I'm using the Team Machine team. That's the name of the default team. The Team Machine is called. What you can do is to change, to completely change the look and feel of your application. How can you do that? Let's go back to the dashboard. let's go to the team section. And also here, not just for the module, but also for the team, there is an online gallery you can use. You can click on gallery, and you will see that there are quite already a lot of module available you can use for free. And then I'm going to use the Contoso one. I click on install, and this new team will be installed on my local Orchard installation. Let's wait a couple of seconds more. We have a modules folder, but we also have a teams folder. So inside the teams folder, we are going to have a new subfolder, which is contained in the Contoso team. That is what is happening. Okay, the team has been installed. I can go back on team. And now you see here that currently I'm using what? I'm using the team machine. That's the name of the default team. And here below, you see that there are other available teams. Now we have the Contoso one. I can click on preview if you just want to see a preview of the website without using it. And now we will go back to the front end. Here you can select. You are viewing now the Contoso team, so we have a new look and feel. Could be better or worse, I don't know. And if you like it, you can click on apply this team, and then it's done. In my case, I'm happy with the default one, so I say cancel. And we go back to the dashboard. Of course, if you have a designer inside your company, the designer can create his own team, okay? And in order to create his own team, he needs to do some steps. So the first step to do is to use a tool which is called the code generation tool. And in order to use this tool, you have to install an additional module, which is called code generation. So I go back to the module gallery, on the gallery here, and somewhere, it's on the top, I have the code generation module. So I install the tool, the module, which is a tool, and then I need, of course, to activate the related feature. And what you have to know, now I click on OK in order to activate the related feature, and what you have to know that is that every time you want, as a developer, as a designer, to create a new component for an Orchard website, you may use this code generation tool. Why that? Because this tool is going also to generate classes, files, structure, views, and more in order to create a new component for the Orchard installation. So if you want to create custom field, if you want to create a new module, you're going to use this tool. So the tool has been installed. Now I go back to the console application, and I can click help commands, and we are going to see, takes a while, it's going to initialize once again the session. You will see that we now have a code gen command available. It's here, okay? And now what you can say code gen. So I want to generate what? A new team, which is called my team. And this my team, it's based on what? On the default team, which is called the team machine. So I want to create a new team which is based on an existing one. Enter. What's happening? He has created world structure for me. So if I now go back to WebMetrix, I go to the files view, and I do a refresh, and I go inside the teams folder, you see that a my team folder has been created with some basic information. So for instance, a team.txt file has been created. This is the manifest of our team, where you get some information about the author and so on. Then there is this team.png file. What's that? This is the preview image which is using within the dashboard, okay? So that the administrator knows how it is, the look and feel of this team. And then we have some views. I was mentioning, I don't want to show it. I go to the Contoso one because this one is empty. If you go inside the views, you see what? You see that we have some CSHTML file. Why that? Because I mentioned in the introduction that Orchard is using the latest ASP.NET version, which is version 3, so it's using the new Razor View Engine. So if you open it, if we open it, you see that we are using this new @Razor syntax. Okay? So it's a mix of code and HTML. So this is being used by Orchard as well. Now what we want to do, I don't want to do big stuff inside my team, but the only thing I want to do is to take the basic team, the team machine, and just change the background color. So in order to make things really simple, I go inside the team machine folder, I copy the site CSS, which is part of this default team, I paste it inside my new team, so I say paste, I open it, and I'm going to do just a small change so that you see the difference. So I change the background color, and now what I want to see, I want also to replace the preview image. I have already prepared it, so I have to go here, tag days, and I have here the image. I copy it, I paste it inside my team folder. I can now remove team PNG and rename this one to team PNG because that's the name. It must be like this. And so now if I open it, you see it's the same as the team machine, but with this ugly yellow background. So I go back. Did I save it? Okay. And now let's go back to here to my Orchard installation. I go back to the dashboard. I go back here to the team section, and now you see that a second team is available. Here below, with this is the preview image I was copying in, the team.png, and I say set current. Wait a couple of seconds more, and voila, now we are using this team. If I go back on the front end, you see that now we have this ugly background with yellow. Usually, when I have more time, I'm showing you how you can also create your own modules or new component, writing code, C#. It's not so easy. Anyway, with the code generation tool, you can go quite a way. And luckily, the time is over. But if you have any question, you will find me at the Ask the Expert booth. A couple of more information about deployment. Okay, as I said, you can deploy it in a shared hosting environment. We support medium trust. You can deploy it on Windows Azure. If you go inside the documentation on the Orchard Project website, you will find step by step what you have to do in order to deploy it on Azure. We support multi-tenancy. This is one of the first questions when you do presentation about CMS. And then last slide with some information about WebMatrix. I forget to say that WebMatrix is available in 9 different languages. The tutorial I was mentioning before, you can find it there. And about Orchard, yes, some link. And then if there are any students in the room, Microsoft Switzerland decided in collaboration with the 2 WebMatrix Swiss launch partner, iWay and WebLand, to offer 1 year free hosting for students. So if you're a student, you want to apply, you go to academiczone.ch, and there you will find all the information in order to apply for this offer. Because time is already over, I don't want to stop everybody here in the room, but feel free to come here after the session for questions. Thank you very much, and enjoy Tech Days.